The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Diana Clark. And I'm feeling quite happy to be here. And I teach Happy Hour with Nikki, alternating weeks with Nikki, more or less alternating. And today I want to talk a little bit about, recently there was a scientific study that was investigating whether three different types of activities, three different types of things that we could do, whether they lead to an increased sense of well-being. So they just wanted to see what can people feel, have more ease in their life, more peace, more happiness in their life. And so they gave instructions to the participants. They broke them into groups of three, and some participants did these types of activities. Some participants did a second type, and some participants did a third type of activities. And then after doing these activities, I think at the end of the day, I think if I understood correctly, they would get like a message on their phone in the morning, do this today, or something like this. And then at the end of the day, they would ask a bunch of questions. And they're questions about their happiness, their satisfaction with their life in general, with a sense of purpose of their life, in their life, a sense of connection to others, their sense of exhaustion, their amount of gratitude they felt, and any inspiration or uplifting feelings that they felt. So they're measuring things that I think all of us would like to have, right? We like, maybe not the exhaustion, but part of measuring exhaustion, I think all of us recognize that when we're exhausted, we are often not feeling uplifted or inspired. We often are not feeling our best. So what were these activities that they asked them to do, and what were the results? So the one set of activities were to do good deeds for others. I'm using this word good as kind of a generic word, but things like donate to a charity, do some volunteer work, help a neighbor, do these types of things, like do something to help somebody, support somebody. That was one group of activities. The second group of activities was to think good thoughts about other people. You could reflect on good qualities of somebody, or you could hope for there's a good thing to happen for them if you knew that they were going to have a challenge or something upcoming that you could sincerely wish that they had really good outcomes or success and whatever they were doing. And then the third set of activities was to do something kind for themselves. Have a nice meal, do something relaxing, these types of things. So these three different things, two of them are for others and one is for themselves. So here are the results. Drum roll, please. All three types of activities led to all the participants reported greater happiness, greater life satisfaction, a feeling of inspiration, and a feeling of closeness to others. Helping others and doing something good for themselves. However, there were also some things that were distinct about this. Doing something good for oneself tended to really diminish the feeling of exhaustion, right? That's not surprising, because maybe that doing good for yourself was taking a nap. Maybe it was taking a bubble bath. I don't know what it was, whatever they did. But they all, doing good things for other people also led to a greater sense of feeling grateful. Grateful and maybe connected to others and grateful for others. What they didn't measure was, what if you combine these things? What if something that's supportive for you is also supportive for others? What if something that's nourishes you, is a good thing for yourself, also is good for others. And this makes me think of doing loving kindness practice, of course, because all of these three types of activities are related to somehow like softening our hearts, opening our hearts, softening our minds, opening our minds in a way in which we can be open for others and that we can be generous in our thoughts, in our actions, be supportive in our thoughts, in our actions. And not only for others, right? Of course for ourselves. And maybe even soften the distinction between what's good for others and what's good for ourselves. But instead to notice that when we take care of ourselves, don't allow ourselves to get depleted, don't allow ourselves to feel like we're having a sense of exhaustion, we're better able to show up for others. And also to recognize that sometimes helping others is a way in which can help us to soften. Sometimes we may get ourselves into this loop where we're thinking about something that's troubling for ourselves. And sometimes just a break and a sense of supporting somebody else can really be supportive. So maybe we don't have to make this distinction between others and self. Maybe we do. Maybe we explore, what is it like when I find myself supporting lots of other people and neglecting my own self-care? What is it like when I feel like I'm just taking care of myself and really feeling like I'm not helping others or connecting to others? It's just something for us to explore, something for us to keep in mind, something to practice with. And to keep practice in such a way that we might find an increase in happiness, might find an increase in life satisfaction and gratitude and appreciation and inspiration. We can use that as a barometer, as a measure of how much care we're giving to ourselves, how much care we're giving to others. So as I mentioned with loving kindness practice, I'd like to think that it helps us to do all this, to help support others and to support ourselves. And for, I think everybody here in this room probably knows, but because we're being recorded, I'll say the way that I teach loving kindness, the way that I'm going to teach it tonight, there are three elements. The first element is to bring to mind somebody or some being, some creature for whom it's easy, simple, not complicated, straightforward to feel a softening, to feel a certain type of opening or feel love, warmth, care, respect, goodwill, benevolence, love. Choose any of those words, all of those words, whichever ones resonate for you. And we'll start there, where it's easy. Meditation practice absolutely requires that we start where we are. And there's no reason to make it difficult. There's no reason to start in the place where it's most difficult. That often can lead to a feeling of like, oh, this is too complicated, or maybe can create the fodder for some self-criticism. Instead, we start where it's easy. And then the second element is to check in with how the sensations in the body. Are there some warmth or openness or a shift towards greater ease or greater openness or in whatever way? Maybe there's some greater relaxation. Maybe the sense of maybe there's that kind of a feeling in the body. And then the third element is to repeat the phrases silently in one's mind. I'll lead us in the phrases. A little bit note about the phrases that there's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. Choose words that are meaningful for you, that are resonant for you. It's helpful to keep them simple and general, But maybe there's particular words that really spark something inside of you. Go ahead and substitute those words for the ones that I'm using. If that feels too complicated and you don't want to try to find the exact perfect word, then go ahead and use the same words I'm using. So we'll start where it's easy, and then we'll expand it to do loving kindness for ourselves. Loving kindness for ourselves. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes that's not so easy. It's a practice. So with that as an introduction, let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to get grounded and present, as a way to connect to the body. I have it, Kristen, thank you, though, but I'm just going to modify this just a little bit so I don't have to speak. How's the volume now? It's still a little bit loud. In the middle of a guided meditation. But this is what it's like, right? We can just fold this in. Okay. So then allowing the breath to return to normal, if you haven't already. It can be really supportive if the body is settled as best it can, is relaxed as best it can. We don't have to force it to be relaxed. We don't have to make it be relaxed. It can be helpful to check in with the area around the eyes and around the jaw. These are two places where we often hold tension. Bring our awareness to our shoulder blades, allowing them to slide down the back, away from the ears. And maybe with that, there's a little bit of uprightness added to the spine. You can check in with the upper back, the lower back. And the chest, is it open or more collapsed? What if you make this tiny, small, very small, very small movement of just uprightness opening up the chest a little bit? And the belly, allowing the belly to relax, soften. And feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against the body. Allowing yourself to feel supported and grounded. Here. Now. Bring our attention to the upper legs. The lower legs. Can we bring a warm-hearted attention? And our feet, another place where we can feel grounded and settled. Upper arms, the lower arms. And the hands. Allowing them to relax. Maybe notice the sensations of whatever the hands are touching. Maybe it's smooth, rough, warm, cold. Whatever it is, can you just allow those sensations to be there? Now let's start with mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. You can bring your attention to the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest, or perhaps feeling the air going in and out of the nose. You can choose whichever region feels the most accessible, the most supportive, the most vivid. And just hang out there, noticing the sensations of breathing. Nothing to do right now except simply noticing. What does it feel like to have an in-breath? What does it feel like to have an out-breath? It wouldn't be surprising if you found yourself lost in thought. It's what minds do, they think. So just very simply, gently, begin again, noticing the sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, just noticing the movements associated with breathing, can be a foundation, a refuge, a place to return. If ever you feel overwhelmed or uncomfortable or unsure, confused with loving-kindness practice, you can always do this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, respect, goodwill. This might be somebody you know, you have a relationship with. It might be somebody you know about, you don't really have a relationship with. Or it might be a small, endearing creature. Kittens, puppies, little baby chicks, squirrels. It doesn't matter in particular. What matters is that there's a willingness of the heart to open and soften, for the mind to open and soften with regard to this lovable being. You can check in with sensations in the body. It might be that you feel a slight inner smile, so to speak, a warmth and opening in the chest, maybe a warmth or softening in the belly. You might not, that's perfectly fine. But if you do, can you allow those sensations to support you? As we do loving kindness practice, as we cultivate and develop loving kindness, and then to support our intention of cultivating and developing loving kindness, an openness of heart, an openness of the mind, you can repeat silently after me these phrases, which serve as a reminder, serve as an anchor for the mind and the heart. So again, bringing to mind the lovable being, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe you'd like to refresh the image of the lovable being. Check in with sensations of the body. Can whatever is there, can you just allow it to be there? Maybe there's a sense of openness, warmth. If there is, maybe you can allow it to get as big as it would like. No need to force anything. No need to make anything happen. We're just allowing. And then returning to the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. then we can build on this foundation of loving kindness, of goodwill, warmth that we're developing, cultivating, and include ourselves and our wish, our intention for goodwill, loving kindness, warmth, care, respect. You can do this by bringing a sense of yourself to mind in whatever way makes sense to you, in a way that feels accessible and supportive. It might be imagining how you are right now. It might mean bringing to mind a younger version of yourself, perhaps as a child. Or it might be tapping into the felt sense of sitting here now. What does it feel like to be sitting here? You can check in with the body again and see if there's been any shift or movement. If so, can you allow that to be there? We're just noticing. And then for the phrases, we'll just change the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can be really supportive of our practice to include some equanimity phrases, some equanimity practice, so that we don't lean too far forward, always helping others or trying to make them be happy, make them be healthy, safe, have some ease. So for this practice, bring to mind for whom you have someone you care about, have a relationship with, but maybe sometimes there's a little prickliness to the relationship. Not the most difficult person that you know, not your most difficult relationship. Just someone for whom sometimes there's a little bit of tension, but that you really care about. So you can bring this person to mind. Maybe check in with the body and just notice, is there a shift? Is there a change? And then we can say equanimity phrases directed towards this person. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Sometimes when we do the meditation practice, we find ourselves having pleasant sensations. Not always. Sometimes. But then we just get up from the cushion and off we go, and kind of like the impact of them, or perhaps any insight or any new learnings or a new experience, kind of get maybe dismissed or not acknowledged. So one way to kind of help increase the power, the impact of doing some meditation practice, including loving kindness practice, is to share with others, to talk with others. It doesn't have to be your deep, dark secrets, but maybe there's something, an opportunity to say out loud what the experience was like. It doesn't have to be all good things. It doesn't have to be all bad things. It can be a mixture. And it doesn't have to be a long, complicated story either. But sometimes it's not until we're asked to speak about something or write about something that we kind of collect our thoughts and realize, oh yeah, I didn't realize that, or I almost didn't notice that, but now that you mention it, that's true for me too. So we can learn from each other, as well as just learn from ourselves. What do we say when we're asked to talk about our experience? So I'd like to invite you to get into groups of four, and just to share what that meditation experience was like. Was there any insights, new learnings, but any ideas, new ideas? And again, it can include like, wow, I was so tired, I slept the whole time, to, wow, I have this new insight about a relationship I have. Or maybe it could be also something like, I'm not sure, I'm still trying to figure out what happened. Any of those responses is fine. And if you want to get into a group of four and share, that'd be great. Thank you. So would anybody like to share what that was like or any of their experience?
I was encouraged to ask a question. This is one of the first times I've ever done loving kindness meditation. I was just wondering what's the purpose? Is it to generate goodwill towards yourself, towards others?
So your question was, what was the...
What's the goal?
What's the goal?
What's the purpose
of this
particular kind of meditation?
Yeah. I would say the goal, the purpose is for us to soften, relax, open our hearts and minds in a way that supports greater peace, freedom, and ease. So sometimes by kind of inclining towards something, loving kindness, goodwill, warmth, and care is a way that there can be a certain letting go and a certain allowing. And this is the way to greater peace and freedom. Some teachers will talk about that there might be other benefits that there are. For me, this is the primary benefit. I think that often the benefit is not seen during the meditation period. Sometimes it is, but often it is not seen while we're meditating. But maybe some of you guys who have been coming here regularly, maybe could speak to this too. It's often, it like plants seeds that don't take root until later. So it's not until we're driving and somebody is going way too slow in front of us and preventing us from getting into the lane that we want, where historically we may have been irritated, that we might discover maybe it's an older person, or, you know, that we just find our heart kind of softening and having some warmth in places where previously we would have been irritated. And then we just find this happens more and more and more in our daily life. So that's... Okay, thank you. I feel a little bit confused about the time. I'm wondering if, like, maybe the... That... Well, I'll just relax about this. In some universe somewhere, we have, like... a few minutes, because that clock, isn't quite the same as the cell phones I trust. What does the cell phone say?
Well, it's 2 after, but
okay.
I think we can keep going.
No, I think that's the real time, yeah.
What does your clock say there?
Well, I just changed it, but this large clock is supposed to be talking to the... you know, the radio signal that comes out of Colorado, the official time in the United States. And I think the battery must be dying or something. May all clocks be safe. You know, I want to respect your time, and I won't keep you late. So I'm wishing you all a good evening. And may you have some health and happiness and some ease, and I'll stay up here if you have some questions. Otherwise, have a good evening. Thank you.